Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. No one ever accused Texas of being a workers' paradise. This is the only state where workers' compensation is not required, and the requirements that are in place are not strictly enforced. This means employers don't have to pay those premiums, so they get a cost break, but workers are frequently left on their own if they get hurt on the job. The Texas Tribune recently explored this issue in a series of reports, Hurting for Work. Jay Root was the lead reporter in that investigation. Jay, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
If you've ever been hurt on the job, what was your experience? But if you've been a boss or an employer, what choices have you made about workers' compensation insurance? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our website at tpr.org. Now, Jay, let me ask you, what does the law require in Texas for employers and workers' comp?
Well, it is mandatory for government, but that's the only area that it's mandatory. And private employers really don't have to have any occupational insurance plan at all. They do have to notify the state if they are opting out of workers' comp and not going to carry workers' comp. However, what we found in our investigation is that over 90% of Texas employers are just flouting that that requirement. Now, a lot of them, I'm sure, don't know that they even have that requirement, but it is the law, and the Division of Workers' Compensation, which is part of the Texas Department of Insurance, has the authority to fine any employer who does not adhere to that requirement up to $25,000 a day until they comply. But they've never hit anyone with that maximum fine, and they just really haven't done a whole lot to enforce that law.
Do employees know what their situation is if they're working for a boss that has workers' compensation or not, or some other form of insurance?
You know, a lot of employees do not know. They have no idea, and honestly, that was one of the things that I felt like was really important about this series of stories, is that I guess my hope is that employees in Texas and employers as well will sort of know what the law is, know what their rights are, employers know what the risks are of not carrying workers' compensation. And that let everybody be informed. I mean, if everybody knows what their rights are and they know that in some cases they don't have a lot of protection, at least they could try to do something about it.
So there are no requirements to post anything in the break room or anything about their workers?
Yes, there is a requirement that you post in your break room that you either have workers' compensation or you don't. Absolutely. There is a requirement. Now, that's another one that, not all employers are complying with that. And the ones who aren't complying a lot of times are these employers who don't have a lot of employees and are, you know, maybe skirting some other rules as well.
How do we get workers' compensation? How did that become a practice in the United States? So why do we have it?
Well, it sprang up in the early 1900s. There were people getting killed on the job in industrial settings, and when it would happen, sometimes it could just be it could wipe a company out overnight. And so some of these companies were really getting upset with jury verdicts or with not having the certainty, and so it sort of sprang up as a grand bargain between employers and employees, and the whole idea of workers' compensation is that there's a plan in place that's regulated by the state that will protect employees in the case of some kind of accident, and it also it protects the employers because it's called the exclusive remedy. Basically, it's the exclusive remedy against an employee negligence lawsuit. So what the employer gains in workers' compensation is protection from a negligence lawsuit, and what the employee gains is, at least in theory, and we can talk about how that in some cases, in many cases, does not materialize, but at least in theory, the employee has a sort of an expectation of having their wages replaced. If they're seriously injured and never can work again, you know, income replacement, medical care, basically to be taken care of.
So if workers' compensation came about because employees were getting killed or severely hurt on the job, and then they were able to sue the employers, and so this came about to try and figure out a way to manage that. If Texas doesn't have workers' compensation, or if an employer doesn't, then aren't they vulnerable to being sued?
They are vulnerable to being sued. One of the problems, though, is that, as we found, a lot of times there is no one to sue, or the person you are going to try to sue doesn't have any money or just goes out of business, declares bankruptcy. I can't tell you how many calls I got like that. I mean, this was one of those stories that it wasn't hard to find examples on, to be honest with you. I mean, we featured an undocumented Mexican laborer who was paralyzed from the chest down, and I had another paralysis case that I didn't pursue that hard because I already had one. But I mean, they're not that hard to find.
And so, if we don't have workers' compensation in Texas, it's not a requirement, especially in some that construction companies are the ones who are mainly not using this. Are we seeing problems with safety on the job because of that?
You're right that construction is a big driver of these kinds of problems. You have a lot of sort of fly-by-night contractors. It's rampant in the residential construction business that people do not have workers' comp, and we featured the story, for example, of a roofer who fell to his death in 2004, and there was no one to sue. The family contacted seven different lawyers before they finally gave up, and it was just really a horrible situation for the family, that the son had to give up on his college dreams, the mother had to borrow money that she's still trying to pay back 10 years later, just devastating to this family. Now, your question, I think, was whether or not this has contributed to a lack of safety. And honestly, if there is a correlation, the data is not there. The safety data is very bad.
But we've seen that Texas has led the country in the last 10 years, seven of the last 10 years, for leading in fatalities.
In fatalities. The fatality data is better than the injury data. The injury data is...
Okay.
I don't want to say that it's worthless, but it's close to worthless.
Because the self-reporting is just not there. Jay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're asking the callers, jump in on this. Tell us your stories. Have you been hurt on a job? Have you ever been fired because you got hurt on the job? That can happen in Texas. Completely legal. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. We continue The Source after this break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. If you get hurt on the job, do not expect much of a safety net to take care of you for lost wages or even for take care of your injuries, because Texas is the only state that does not require workers' compensation insurance. We're talking to Jay Root about his investigative series on the Texas Tribune that's still available online at thetexastribune.org. Let's bring in Fabiola Flores into the conversation. She's a staff attorney for the employment team at the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. So, Fabiola, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, David. Hey, hi, Jay.
So let me ask you about your work as you, I guess, try to represent injured workers who have been hurt on the job. What are your challenges?
So kind of start same as Jay. Starting point is that people have a lot of misconceptions. people call legal aid because they've been injured on the job, and they don't even know if there's insurance, and sometimes their supervisors don't know if there's insurance. So my first challenge is to find out which law applies. Is it Texas Workers' Compensation Act? Is it a private insurer? Because there's a different law that covers that. Is it strictly going to be a PI analysis, personal injury analysis? So my first challenge is trying to figure out which law applies, because many times people don't even know when they call for help.
What are some of the cases that you see, Fabiola?
The majority are people that luckily do have an insurance policy governed by Texas Workers' Compensation Act. And so the majority of the cases are denials. You know, Jay covered this in his excellent series, Extent of Injury. Somebody has a real bad injury, and they're told that it's just a sprained strain. And so they ask me, how do I prove, because the burden of proof is on the worker, to this hearing officer that, in fact, I herniated three discs in my fall, and it's not just a sprained strain. And so my challenge is to find medical experts that support them and, you know, they're familiar enough to testify in these hearings. That's probably one of the biggest ones.
So, Jay, when companies are able to opt out of workers' comp, they can just do nothing at all, or they can get a different sort of insurance?
Well, see, there's a large the way to think about this is like three pools of employees. Those that are covered by workers' compensation, that's about 80% of the workforce. Those that are covered by a private occupational plan, and those that have nothing. The going nothing, it's at least a half a million people. It's probably more than that, but that's like bottom, you know, that's at least that many. And then maybe a million or more have these private occupational plans. The issue with the private occupational plans, I mean, some of them I'm sure are good. The problem is we don't really know anything about them. They in some cases, they're governed by ERISA. Some cases, they're not. You don't even know maybe that you signed something that said you're subject to binding arbitration. And so maybe you're happy with the binding arbitration, or maybe you're not. But also keep in mind that you think about the legal protections that you have. And, for example, if you're a non-subscriber, meaning that you're not in the workers' comp system and you're an employee in that situation, your employer, for example, can fire you. You mentioned that before the break. The Boucher decision that was authored by Greg Abbott, the attorney general who's running for governor, in 1998 got rid of the retaliatory firing provisions, workplace discrimination provisions that covered people who were not in the work comp system. So I could get hurt. And I could say, hey, you need to fix this, and they say, you know, I'm not going to fix this, and I could go hire a lawyer and say, I'm telling you, you have to fix this, and they say, you know what, Jay, I don't like your attitude, you're fired, and there is nothing I can do about that in the state court system. That's not considered a cause of action. It is in the work comp system, but it's not outside of it.
And it's interesting that Greg Abbott is the author of that decision. Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Lisa in on the conversation. Lisa, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Lisa, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I had an experience just a few weeks ago. My son fell at work and hurt his arm. I took him to an urgent care that afternoon. When they found out it was an injury at work, they said it had to go under workman's comp. So he called his boss. They don't have workman's comp. They refused to see him. They said it was the law. And even when I said, well, I will, you know, I'm not trying to turn it into my insurance. You know, I'll pay for it out of pocket. They still refused to see him. And, you know, what happened is I wound up, I'm a nurse, so I wound up mobilizing his arm, putting ice on it, and the next day he went in to see a physician, and his boss was nice enough to where they covered it, but, you know, I was just amazed. We're not from here, and I've not had experience with this before. Everywhere I'd ever been before, people were covered with workman's comp.
What kind of work was he doing?
Oh, he works at a donut shop. I don't want to say too much because
sure.
I don't want to.
I was just wondering what kind of job he was doing when he got hurt. Okay, well, Lisa, thank you for that information. I really appreciate you calling in. So let me ask you about that. Fabiola Flores over at Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. That sounds peculiar that her son couldn't be treated because of workman's comp.
So this is the other piece of the puzzle that maybe hasn't been covered yet, and that's educating our medical providers. It sounds like, you know, and it happens to me all the time with my clients, there's so much misinformation or non-information out there about this that it happens all the time. People get injured and, you know, you don't stop and say, hey, quickly, tell me our comp policy so I can hand it over to the provider as soon as I walk in. I wish people had those reactions, but they don't, and the medical providers here in Texas, I think, have been mistreated for so long that they just shy away from these cases because they know they're not going to get paid. So that's sort of the other piece of this workers' comp puzzle is the medical providers.
Now, the reaction we're getting from employers, we got one email comment saying the reason they're opting out of the system is because the premiums are too high. So, Jay, does that resonate as valid?
Well, I can understand that. Premiums, actually, though, are fairly low historically right now. Premiums have really been dropping quite a lot. I mean, and so, you know, some people, some of the worker advocates that I've talked to suggest that the reason why premiums are dropping is because denials are so high and because employees are losing so many of their cases. What we discovered in our investigation is that, you know, again, you have some of these really dire, just desperate, heartbreaking situations outside the workers' compensation system. But inside the workers' compensation, just keep this in mind, you have just about a 50-50 chance that something on your claim is either going to get denied or disputed. And then if you get into the dispute resolution process, the chance that you win your case is under 40%. It's really under 30. What our latest data that we have is it's under 33%. It's around 32%. We don't have the data for the last half of 2013, but the trend has gone from about a 50% wins of these major disputes down to about a third, to less than a third. So it's really hard to win in the system.
We're talking about workers' compensation insurance in Texas, the only state that it's not required to have. And with me on the line, Fabiola Flores with the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid and Jay Root over at Texas Tribune. He just authored a comprehensive investigative report looking at the situation. Jay, so there was a workman's compensation reform in the 79th legislature, HB 7, what was that, 2005, in which Rick Perry signed off on this. And he made all these promises that it was going to be better for employers. It would lower cost. It would be so did we got what he promised, right? This is what he promised.
It did lower medical costs. I mean, the Texas medical costs were pretty high nationally before that bill, and it's come down since then. Now, you know, again, you have to just ask yourself how you would fare given these numbers that I just threw out at you. So it certainly has saved it's saved some money for the people that are writing these policies, these insurance policies. Has it led to better care for the employees? It's managed care essentially is what it is. You know, if you remember the sort of the old HMOs and you know, one attorney for claimants, for people who file claims against insurance carriers, called it Obamacare on steroids. But it has lowered costs.
And Fabiola Flores, does this, when workman's comp is, when a company does have it or in these insurance, it covers both documented and undocumented workers?
Yes, the law does not make a distinction. So everybody who works for a company that actually bought this kind of insurance to cover them should use it. And I should mention to people that as part of the HB7, we got the Office of Injured Employee Counsel, and they're actually a group of people that had already been in existence as ombudsman for many, many, many years before that, but they got renamed and sort of became their own Texas agency. And they are also a wonderful resource for people to contact when they have questions.
Fabiola Flores with the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid, Jay Root, investigation reporter over at the Texas Tribune. Thanks for joining us and talking about the Texas workers' compensation issues. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.